640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Progress? The United Auto Workers Union did not expand its strikes against the big three automakers today, as it has for the past few Fridays. It's likely related to the announcement today from UAW Chief Sean Fain about a big concession. More from CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
As the strike against the big three automakers entered its fourth week, the president of the United Auto Workers Union announced what he called a major breakthrough with General Motors.
GM has now agreed in writing to place their electric battery manufacturing under our National Master Agreement.
The breakthrough happened as the union was preparing to expand its walkout against GM.
The stock market responded enthusiastically today to the news that employers in the U.S. added 336,000 jobs last month. CBS's Natalie Brand takes us inside the numbers.
A new report from the Labor Department shows overall the U.S. economy added 336,000 jobs in September, and numbers for July and August were revised significantly higher. The unemployment rate remained near a historic low of 3.8%.
Why do you think this report was better than expected?
The U.S. economy has remained much more resilient than has been expected.
Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst for the personal finance website Bankrate, says bars and restaurants are back to pre-pandemic staffing levels, and the government increased hiring, including new teachers.
Medical marijuana patients in Georgia will soon be able to get the THC oils they need at local independent pharmacies. But pharmacist Jonathan Marquez says they need a doctor's permission first.
The patient has to go to their medical doctor and get a workup. They have to have one of 17 disease states. The physician has to work them up and then apply for a cannabis card.
A life-saving drug is in short supply throughout the country, says CBS's Alexander Tin.
Supplies of a key treatment that emergency room doctors rely on to treat heart attack patients called injectable nitroglycerin is now in short supply nationwide, according to the FDA. After two drug makers, Baxter Healthcare and American Regent say they have been struggling to keep up with an increase in demand. More supplies are on the way. Baxter says they plan to have more to release by the end of this month, with hopes of resolving the shortage of this key heart attack treatment by November.
The FBI has now joined an investigation into the improper storage of bodies at a funeral home near Colorado Springs, Colorado. Fremont County Coroner Randy Keller.
A warrant was received allowing us to enter the facility. After making entry into the facility, we found over 100 decedents who were improperly stored and has created a hazardous scene.
This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Kettle Moraine School Board and the district superintendent say they're working together as they address the fallout of a recent judge's ruling.
The ruling states that the staff cannot use preferred pronouns for transitioning students without parental consent. While the decision came too late to be included in the recent school board meeting, they plan to address the issue in their next scheduled meeting on October 24th. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
The youth hunt is on tomorrow. A chance for younger hunters 15 and under to get out and learn from experienced hunters runs through the weekend. The DNR is telling hunters to test their deer for CDW before consumption. Although no cases of chronic wasting disease in humans have been confirmed, there are numerous instances of CWD in Wisconsin's deer population. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Carroll University football team is on the road again this Saturday, October 7th. The Pioneers travel to Naperville, Illinois to take on number one Division III and defending national champs North Central College. You can catch all of the action live with Don and Johnny. Pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 6. It's the Pios at the Cardinals live this Saturday night on the Shaw WAUK Radio 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app. It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Me in your fantasies, everything I got, I got working for me, so eat that, peep that, I'm the one to beat, yeah. When I take my picture, wanna kiss her, I'm like, damn.
Welcome everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. So much that I could talk about today, but I'm going to start with some sound that Anya was kind enough to pull for me. This first one that we're going to go with, and by the way, Anya, this is going to be cut 6A. This is Representative Garrett Graves on Morning Joe. It's an MSNBC show this morning. And Joe Scarborough, who used to be a Republican member of Congress, asked him what I thought was the best question. And he asked, and Representative Graves is not a fan of the Freedom Caucus. Okay. Has a lot of harsh words for Matt Gaetz. We may get to more of them. But the most important question that he was asked today was after he got done trashing Gates and sort of talking about how ridiculous everything is. Joe Scarborough said to him, listen, the liberals have an extreme wing or a more left or a most progressive, however you want to express it, wing, generally referred to as the squad. Sometimes I get that wrong and call them the crew, but it's just because I love the Brewers, RIP 2023. So the squad, they're the most progressive branch of the Democratic Party. And there's a more of them than there are of the Freedom Caucus. And so what Joe Scarborough asked Representative Graves this morning was, how is it that Nancy Pelosi was able to so ably create and get legislation up and out of committees and passed and adopted when, you know, she was dealing with the most progressive wing, the squad, if you will, this sort of greenest element of the Democratic Party. And Kevin McCarthy wasn't. Why is that? And I thought what Representative Graves said was just incredibly revealing. He didn't mean it to be so. And I'm going to break down for all of you why I think that is. But let's go ahead and listen to the clip. This is this morning on Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough. Why was Nancy Pelosi able to deal with her most extreme wing? And why was Kevin McCarthy not able to do that? Let's go ahead on
your clip. She's the one who evicted herself.
Joe Scarborough here. So tell me, you had suggested that the squad was about the same as the five or six people that ousted McCarthy. Nancy Pelosi had about a 5-vote majority, still got things done. Why do you think it is that Democrats and Nancy Pelosi were able to keep the House in order and Republicans weren't?
You know, Joe, it is a fantastic question. And you obviously understand this intimately from your service in the Congress. The Democrats, and it's a characteristic of the ideology where they bond together much more. I think they're used to having a little bit more centralized leadership, representing urban areas, more dependence upon government. And you are intimately aware of the Lone Ranger status, the independence, the give me liberty or give me death perspective of many conservatives, of many Republicans. And I think that that's where you just really have that tension, and that Republicans don't want to be told what to do, don't want to be centralized. And I think it really is sort of a characteristic or a tendency of many Republicans or of conservatives that really is at odds with this whole concept of a central leader. Last thing is, you know, something Kevin McCarthy said a lot that I think it's really poignant in this case. He didn't hire and he can't fire any of the members that he's supposed to be leading. It really creates a challenging management structure. But once again, I think it's more characteristic of Republican ideology.
We can cut it. Okay. I'm just going to take the last bit first. He didn't hire him and he can't fire him. Yes, they're elected members of Congress. Like, thank you for that insight, Representative Graves. Boo. And so did Nancy Pelosi. It's just objection, non-responsive. Please instruct the witness to answer. But boy, was the first part of that answer interesting. So I'm paraphrasing. Democrats are more used to bonding. They understand that there needs to be centralized leadership, that they have to get together. There's a greater reliance on government. And he says, like, this is the characteristic sort of endemic to Democrats. More people in urban areas, more reliance on government. Then he went on to describe the GOP and Republicanism. He basically said, these are don't tread on me folks. Nobody can tell me what to do. We don't believe in a central leader was some of the phraseology. All right, like I always do, let me break down the baloney into the straight talk. Democrats believe in government and institutions, and Republicans don't. That is the entire, and he just said it, right? This isn't about freaking Kevin McCarthy, is it now? It's not about the Freedom Caucus. He just defined Republicanism as we don't believe in government and democratic institutions, and Democrats do. That is the entire point that has been a brewing since Newt Gingrich. That is their brand. I never understood when anybody runs to be an elected official in government if you don't believe in government in the first place. Of course they're burning it down. That's been the plan all along. Could go off about Grover Norquist and a whole bunch of other things. Drown the baby in the bathtub. That is it in a nutshell. And this has nothing to do with Kevin McCarthy. It has nothing to do with the current iteration of this. It's just in its most florid, extreme manifestation. But it has always been a defining characteristic of the Republican Party post, basically, Nixon. We don't believe in government. Don't tax me. Don't tread on me. Don't clean my water. Don't make sure my air is clean. Don't fund my public schools. Cindy from Appleton, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you this afternoon?
Well, I just don't understand. If these politicians are also anti-government, why are they government employees?
Right? Brilliant minds think alike. I mean, I just said it. If you're if you think government is the root of all evil, that there should be no centralized leadership, then why are you running for elected office? Go to the private sector and make your billions. Running.
Yep, yes. Yep. And they continue to run and run and run. You know?
Yes,
they
don't never go away.
Don't leave. They stay. Yep. I don't get it.
Unbelievable. And the reason why is because it's the definition of performative politics. They do this because it's self-aggrandized, ego-affirming, power leveraging, power for power's sake. It's never been about good government, and it's certainly never been about good policy. I also thought it was really interesting this morning. Joe Manchin was on. And he gave some comparisons, or he presented, he was talking about Ukraine. And I thought he did a pretty cogent job explaining why Republicans like Matt Gaetz and the knuckle-dragging MAGA crowd, why they're having trouble understanding that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. So, Anya, this is going to be clip two. So this is Joe Manchin, also on Joe Scarborough's Morning Joe this morning, explaining why GOP support for Ukraine is waning. Go ahead and run that, Anya.
We're committed at that time to go help our allies.
I've heard reporting from the Trump side that there are only 25 of the whatever it is, 221 Republican districts where people are still supporting that war effort for Ukraine. The numbers are declining on the Republican side. So how do you make a better argument? The argument you've just made, why is it so difficult to sell that to the
American
public?
What they're doing, they're pitting it off. Okay, which one are you more concerned about? You concerned about the border? Are you concerned about Ukraine? You concerned about basically a high cost inflation or Ukraine? They start putting it that way, and people start saying, well, wait a minute, that's second on my list, or that's third on my list. For world peace and to have a quality of life in this world and basically have democracy and freedoms, and we are the superpower of the world, and our superpower comes because we're willing to defend democracy and freedom anywhere in the world. If we walk away from that,
we can wrap that clip up. What did he just describe? I talk about this all the time here on the Maggie Dawn Show. The illusion of a false choice. That everything is zero sum, that we cannot walk and chew gum, that we can't deal with immigration and support Ukraine, right? We can only do one or the other. And he goes on and he elucidates this false choice. Deal with inflation or help Ukraine. That's garbage. As Professor Yoshiko Herrera yesterday so ably enunciated, only 5% of the U.S.'s entire defense budget, which is only part of our total overall budget, goes to aid Ukraine. And notice what's up here, right? The through line between what Representative Garrett Graves admitted on the air, that the GOP is only an ever and is completely reduced to sort of anti-governmental chaos mongering, shows up in the presentation, their framework of false choices, of it's always a zero-sum game. Because if you think of it that way, you pit people against each other. You foment division, which foments chaos. And, oh, do you think it's a coincidence that the party that doesn't believe in government, doesn't believe in institution, is a collaborator of chaos, wants to divide us, happens to be aligning with the architects of the current American chaos, or at least the accelerators of it, Vladimir Putin and the Russian misinformation machine. That's all about creating chaos here in the United States. You can join my conversation this afternoon because I'm going to put some other things together in the bottom half of this hour. But then when we come back, starting at the half hour, I'm going to be joined by my great friend, Bob DeVita. He's going to explain why the U.S. healthcare system is so screwed up. You know, in just a couple of few minutes of talk radio. So keep it locked here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 844-967-2789. Spending all my time on what I want. Looking in the mirror, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm the one to be, yeah, I'm the one to be, yeah. Eat that, beat that, I'm the one to be, yeah. I even know I'm not at me.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear tonight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 39. Winds out of the northwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 54. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows around 38. Mid-50s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers. Low 50s Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can always get the app from your favorite app store for free. It's my favorite price, $0. Just type in Civic Media, and there we will be. So before the break, I was stitching together some basic things about the GOP. They're starting to say the quiet part out loud now a lot more than they ever did before. And it's basically that the GOP is an anti-government, anti-institution party now. That's what it's devolved into. It's been a march, but it has been a steady, unrelenting march. It's now in a full-out sprint. They just want to burn it down in a very literal way. And the way that you accomplish this is by dividing, acting like everything is zero sum, and fomenting discontent, hating of your neighbor. And the chief separator, the chief separatist, the chief chaos agent is the orange man. And boy, did he give it some verbiage earlier this week. Anya, we're going to be doing the blood clip here in a second. We know that Trump is a racist. It's his brand. But man, again, it's just the quiet part out loud. This isn't about let's come together and solve problems and compromise. It's zero sum, us versus them. And the us are only basically white, cisgendered, heteronormative landowners, right? I mean, that's it. Let's play the Trump on immigration.
Nobody has any idea where these people are coming from. And we know they come from prisons. We know they come from mental institutions, insane asylums. We know they're terrorists. Nobody has ever seen anything like we're witnessing right now. It is a very sad thing for our country. It's poisoning the blood of our country. It's so bad. And people are coming in with disease. People are coming in with every possible thing that you can have.
That's Nazism. Okay. These people are poisoning the blood of our country. They're coming in with disease. This is a tale as old as time, that the other is diseased, bad, not part of us. That otherization, that cultivation of chaos, that is the GOP of today. It's just where we're at right now. And even, you know, Representative Garrett Graves, what was the language? We don't like a central leader. We don't like to be told what to do. Well, yeah, you don't like government. Billy, from the north side of Madison, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, my friend?
Hey, counselor. What I'm wondering about is, my take on why the Supreme Court decided for Bush and Bush v. Gore was because, I know this isn't the rationale they probably gave, but just like, hey, you know, we don't have time to decide this correctly because that would just upset some of the people that we don't want to upset, so we're just, nope, you're done, no more recount. And what is to stop the Supreme Court, which is far worse now, from doing the exact same thing at whatever point regarding prosecutions of Donald Trump? What's to stop them from saying, well, you know, he might be guilty, but really we can't, you know, there's an election. We gotta just push this aside because it's just too late.
Great questions, Billy. There's two in there, and I'm going to break them down. Basically asked about what is going on when the Supreme Court and Bush v. Gore is like, this is too much recounting. There's too many hanging chads. It's all too complicated. Let's just call it done. And this wasn't the constitutional rationale. I'd have to reread the case, and I don't want to get it wrong on the air. But I do want to take a moment to observe this. Choosing to maintain the status quo does select winners and losers. Doing nothing is a choice. Maintaining institutions that generate disparate outcomes that clearly fall along racial lines, is a value choice. It's to continue to privilege those who have historically always benefited from these systems. Right? Preservation of the status quo ante is an expression of value that privileges white, heteronormative, cisgendered landowners, men predominantly. I forget what Billy's second question was, Anya. If you remember what it was. Oh, what's to prevent them from doing that now? Ah, it's the very nature of a criminal prosecution. The appeals standard for certain things in criminal prosecution, you basically have to prove actual innocence as long as the trial court judges do a pretty darn good job ensuring that the defendant's rights are protected. So all else being equal, if you're the trial court judge in any of Donald Trump's criminal trials, you're going to always tend to err on the defendant's side of the ledger, because that way he's got no good appeal. So I think it's a good place to end when we're talking about preserving the status quo ante and the moral imperative to fix institutions that don't work for most of us most of the time. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about healthcare and that institution. It's not just an economic system. It's an institution in this United States. And how did we end up in this place with my good friend, Bob DeVita? Keep it locked, everybody. If you've got questions, Bob's got answers. 844-967-2789 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief, the United Auto Workers Union says General Motors made a major concession during negotiations today. But in a UAW video, President Sean Fain said the pressure on the Big Three will continue.
Strikes and the threat of strikes by a unified membership are what delivers.
President Biden says his policies are pushing the economy in the right direction.
It's down 60% since last summer. Core inflation was just 2.2% over the past 3 months.
The U.S. added an unexpectedly high 336,000 jobs last month. Organizations that help migrants in San Antonio say they're struggling to feed and shelter them all. San Antonio Catholic Charities CEO Antonio Fernandez.
When we have a budget for 700 people, but now we have 1,000 people, that means that it's more clothes that we have to buy, it's more supplies for them. Consequently, we're running out of money faster than we had anticipated.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha's water changes Monday. The water utility is changing the water source to Lake Michigan, which might lead to a temporary chlorine-like smell or taste in the water. That's actually just a safety measure that'll be noticed during the transition.
Welcome to Waukesha South Black Shirts Football. Thanks for joining us live on your local Civic Media radio station, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, The Shaw, and the Civic Media app. Waukesha South Black Shirts Football is brought to you by the Center for Responsible Seafood, meeting the critical need for seafood produced through regenerative processes. Revitalize, a new business coming to the area in January 2024, and this week in Waukesha with downtown Donnie Brown. Heard right here Saturday mornings at 8. Blackshirts football is competing in its final season with the Classic 8 and building toward an exciting future in the Parkland Conference. Your live coverage of Waukesha South Blackshirts football starts now.
Welcome, Blackshirt Nation and listeners, to beautiful Taraska Stadium, home of the Arrowhead Union High School Warhawks. I'm Don Brown, downtown Donnie Brown, with my good friend Johnny Watermelon. Hello, Johnny.
How you doing, Don? Everybody, how you doing, man?
This is the last Classic 8 matchup of your beloved black shirts for possibly ever. I know technically the real last game is at home against North, but North is a friendly crosstown rival, and North will be joining us in the Parkland Conference next year. So this will be the last time we face Arrowhead unless we see them in the playoffs sometime in the future, which now that we're in a more equitable conference could be a reality somewhere down the road. We'd like to welcome those listeners from the Maggie Dawn Show, as well as those listeners from Native Roots Radio, as Blackshirt Nation is well represented by Indigenous peoples, as well as the sons and daughters of the Northern Migration, the descendants of the Middle Passage, the Irish diaspora in America, and all the banished children of Eve. It is our honor and our duty to welcome our Native brethren and are proud to declare that Native issues are human issues.
And human issues are Native issues.
So we say yahoo, and we welcome you to join us on our journey of self-discovery here in Blackshirt Nation as we face a very tough Arrowhead program and tradition. Yeah, I was telling Johnny when he arrived here, this box that we're in, we're up at the top here, it feels like, when you look at it, like you're at a racetrack. And you've got a very steep bleachers here and a very nice, the visiting bleachers is comparable to what a lot of home, high school home bleachers are like. So it's top shelf treatment here. Beautiful field. Have been treated very hospitably by athletic director Ryan Mannion and company. And the head coach of Arrowhead is no stranger to us, Matt Harris, who I believe is in his fifth year coming over to Arrowhead from Waukesha North. And so another big standout for Arrowhead is also another familiar face, Jace Gilbert, who transferred from Waukesha North after his freshman year and is on his way, has already committed to Iowa State, where he has an exciting future to look forward to at the Division I level, playing in the Big 12. So, Johnny, what are the keys here for the Blackshirts to be competitive tonight?
Well, I'll tell you, we got to have some standout play by a variety of people on the Blackshirt side of the ball. And, you know, the one thing that stuck out, like it has in several games here, Don, is the disparity in between these teams here in the Classic 8. I counted 92 uniforms on the field when they were warming up against the Blackshirts, 36. So, you know, right out of the gate, there's a challenge. But to answer your question, you got to have some really standout play by, you know, our quarterback tonight and the defense.
Yep.
So
that's senior Ben Menes.
You know, yeah. So, you know, like you always say, you know, you said that you got to run the ball and stop the run. Well, that's going to be a tall order tonight against these folks in Arrowhead.
And we weren't here last week. We special thanks again to Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show and his special guest, Sandy Williams, a longtime high school football coach, for the broadcast last week. I know it was a bit challenging for them as not regular broadcasters of the sports. But we noticed there weren't a lot of running plays for South last week, and we hope that we can mix that in and try to keep this Arrowhead defense honest and have a more balanced attack. Everyone's looking healthy as far as I can see. I haven't heard any significant reports of injured players from the Waukesha, from the West game last week. And I know these young men are looking poised and feeling confident. And, you know, just looking forward to a good battle tonight. And, you know, like all Classic 8 matches, Johnny, the hope is that we can last, you know, 2-3 quarters with these guys and make a game of it. And, you know, there's no shame of that because these Arrowhead, these Classic 8 programs are, you know, have a lot of Power 5 talent, a lot of D1 talent. I know, Johnny, you're observing the average size of the line for Arrowhead compared to ours, and there is quite a disparity.
Yeah, well, you know, they grow them right over here at Arrowhead. There's some big boys.
Yeah.
That's always a tough thing, what happens down in the trenches. Whoever controls that line of scrimmage, it does some damage and they wear the other team down. So it's going to be a tough deal.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Not only do they grow them right at Arrowhead, but they draw from such a large area here.
Yeah.
It's like my big joke is that Arrowhead should be in the Big Ten. This is what some would call an off year for Arrowhead. They're currently 4-3 with two Classic 8 wins, which qualifies them for the playoffs. So there may not be maybe as much incentive for them to play, unless they're trying to get a higher seeding in the playoffs. But Jace Gilbert will be easy to follow because he's a D lineman that wears number 23. He's wearing a running back's number, so it begs the question if he's going to get some handoffs tonight. This is our first time watching Arrowhead, and as you know from high school, it's hard to get good scouting reports, I think, for reasons of the health and safety of our young student athletes. So, but we, for once, Johnny, we have real football weather here, too. I haven't checked the temperatures, but I'm guessing we're in the 40s or 50s.
Yeah, this is a crisp fall evening here.
Perfect weather for football.
It really is.
We were out in Augustana last Saturday, where our beloved Pioneers of Carroll lost a heartbreaker to Augustana, 23-19. A really well-played game, but, boy, it felt like being in Miami in June or July. With
it was
heat
just
and that
hot.
Humidity. Yeah, and so it has an impact on the players, but any good football player will tell you they'd rather play in a zero-degree temperature with a couple inches of snow than when it's close to 100 degrees on the ground. And you could see, you know, drop passes, missed tackles, the kind of thing, you know, that the heat is oftentimes your biggest opponent in football.
Sure.
And so it is nice to be here in a good football playing conditions, especially for our skeletal lineup here at South.
Yeah, that last week's game was one of them deals where the pickle juice was really flowing. Don't expect to have that kind of stuff going on here tonight. It is a classic fall environment here. Very cool. Hardly any wind. It's just a great night for football.
Yeah.
Friday night under the lights here.
No heavy breeze, thankfully. So be a good night for our quarterbacks. So and I think that's it. They're doing the coin toss now. And South is represented by Captains Logan Dable, Vinny Mahalos, Evan Stout, and Adriel Diaz. And I'm thinking that Arrowhead won the toss here, but I've been wrong before, Johnny.
I think they did the way they were pointing there. But
sure.
See in
second. South's going to receive. So my guess is that Arrowhead has won the toss and has opted to defer to the second half. Interestingly, Johnny, if you're watching the Bears, Chicago Bears Washington Commanders game last night, the Bears won the toss and elected to receive right away. Ironically, too, because before the game it had been announced that defensive legend Dick Butkus had passed away, yeah. And they had a nice tribute to them there at FedEx Field. And it was rather ironic that the Bears wanted to start out on offense, and it certainly bode well for them in a real blowout. The Bears finally get a win.
And against,
against the Washington team that almost beat Philly on the road last week. So, and they were undefeated up until the Bills trounced them a couple weeks before. But, so I thought that was rather interesting. And it reminds me, the Bears always win when one of their legends dies. If you remember that Packers game when it was at Lambeau. And the Packers had a chip shot to win it, and big Brian Robinson stuck his big mitt up to block it. And so we still call that the sweetness game for Chicago fans. So, but hopefully we'll get some magic tonight. Maybe some of our Blackshirt legends will be conjured up. Coach John Stillman, a Blackshirt Hall of Fame member and one of the coaches, who we'll also see tomorrow at his alma mater. He'll be at the North Central game, so he will very likely be our halftime guest. A lot of tradition here going up against Arrowhead for sure.
Sure. Well, like you said, Don, anything can happen. It's football.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened in the course of sports. So we're going to go out there and we're just going to give it the best shot here and represent Waukesha South as best as we can tonight.
And Johnny, you mentioned you said you counted 36, which I think is kind of that's an upgrade for us. So maybe there's some freshmen or sophomores. That they've moved up to varsity because they like the way that they've been playing at the next level, or the lower level, I should say.
Well, I expect to see a little passing here tonight from our black shirts, but what do you think, Don?
Well, I just saw them in the warm-up there. They did a handoff there to Vinny Mahalos on the right, and Vinny does run well up the middle. And again, I think we got to keep this what I believe to be a ferocious Arrowhead defense honest, and you got to run a few plays up the middle. But yeah, I think if you're gonna pass it, stay within yourselves, throw underneath the coverage, high percentage plays, nothing high over the middle, and keep that defense honest, and then you can do some pump fakes and go for the end zone. But let's control the ball, keep their offense off the field, and really kind of control the clock. We've got a lot of guys playing both ways for South. So I think it's just be a factor of how well-conditioned they are. And I know in the Wilts era, they've emphasized strength training. So this will be a big test for them tonight going up against Mighty Arrowhead. So we're going to take a quick break now, pay some bills. And we can also do a station identification on you if you can handle that for us. And we'll see you soon here on the Blackshirt Football Radio Network, live from Tarasca Stadium in Arrowhead. We'll be right back.
are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
On Saturdays.
Welcome back, everyone, to live and local coverage on 540 AM and 101 FM, WAUK, The Shaw. And you can find us on the Civic Media app and all the other great radio stations there. We're getting ready for kickoff here in just a little bit. And we've got a queued up a really good, exciting game. It's a great football opportunity for our black shirts to show what they can do in the last Classic 8 football contest. So let's do what we can, cheer on our team, and see what we can do.
All the good things, Johnny. And this is a great atmosphere for football. There was a festival sponsored by their DECA organization in the parking lot for the game. Johnny and I went and got a couple coffees and frolicked around among the crowd. And it was good to see kids of all ages having a good time. And another thing I noticed, too, is behind the stadium, I saw at least two pickup touch football games among some youths here on different sides of this this big campus. And so, you know, football is very serious here, and a lot of these kids dream of someday playing here for varsity at Taraska Stadium and representing their communities and their families and playing Warhawk football. So where Johnny's looking at the brochure now, the program they give you, it's probably, what is that, a 16-page
Yeah, it's very nice.
Got all the sponsors. They're well sponsored. There are
they're well supported here at Arrowhead.
Boxes for the big sponsors underneath us.
So they've got quite the history here with 13 state title appearances, the most of any state history, regardless of the division.
Yeah.
So they've had a long tradition of winning over here. Like you said, Don, they draw from quite a pool of
big
people.
Area. Yeah.
So they've got a lot of guys here.
They certainly do.
You know, Arrowheads, you know, they've had over 200 all-conference players, over 30 all-state players, and multiple Americans, all-Americans. So they've got quite a history here, and that's not it's not to be taken lightly. And the other thing is that these players have been successful in college and beyond in the representation in the NFL. So they've got a lot going on here. They got quite the history, and it's going to be fun to watch these guys tonight.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is, Johnny. And, you know, we're still about 13 minutes away from kickoff. There'll be a national anthem coming soon, I'm sure. Arrowhead. Next Arrowhead has gone into the
Warhawks,
locker room there.
Sir.
They're going to do their big, the Warhawks will do their big run out onto the field. And I'm sure South will be vacating the field as they wrap up their practice here. And so just, you know, a couple other points. You know, next week is their last game of the season. It's a home game against North, and we're glad we weren't able to play them last year. We had to forfeit the last two games, and the last time we played North, we beat them at their house in a really amazing come-from-behind victory. Came down to a last-second. There was a Hail Mary that was should have been a winning touchdown for North, but was called back on a holding play. And then the next play... quarterback was forced. He stepped over the line when he passed it, so it was a moot. And the South defense knocked it out in the back of the end zone anyway. So, but a lot of North fans still upset about it. It was a beautifully designed play, too. Coach Ciano for North, they had everybody running towards the middle, all the receivers, and they were looking up as if the ball was in the air, which fooled our guys. And then another receiver just headed over to the corner where he was wide open. He caught it. And so they got called for the then to hold the add insult to injury. They were called for a celebration because they thought it was the end of the game. And the players empty. So it was just an awful mess for poor North. But you know, North has had a much. We got to broadcast the North game when we had to forfeit Muskego a few weeks back. Got to see that. That's a great football team, well coached, and looking forward to seeing them in the Parkland Conference next year. Great coaching staff over there that includes Nick Pridgen, who was had a great career at Winona State as well as at Tosa West in high school. And the 6'6 Pridgen was also on a lot of NFL watch lists during his college career. And
it's great to see him working with the young kids over at North. And so we're looking forward to that next week. That'll be a great way to wrap up the season and to wrap up what's really been, you know, some dark days in the Classic Eight. You know, we just with the three high school system in Waukesha, we simply don't match up with a lot of these schools and programs here. So really looking forward to being a part of what is a very competitive conference in its own right with the Parkland. And don't forget, you still have CMH, that's a juggernaut, and was former Classic Eight member. And New Berlin West is playing really well. New Berlin Eisenhower's put some tough teams together over the years. So, and then the Tutosa schools as well. So they'll definitely have their work cut out for them next year. But I think instead of games ending in the first half, they'll be ending, you know, it'll be, you'll be losing games by 3 points or 7 points, or
sure,
maybe winning games by the same margin. So it'll be a great arrangement for us. So there is a little bit of a, as you see the referees, the slacks, there is a little bit of a breeze down there, Johnny, a little windy.
I was just pointing that out. I was going to mention that to you, Don. There's a condition that's changed on the field. The wind has definitely kicked up. So that's going to affect the kicking game here a little bit.
Another reason to be throwing underneath the coverage and just some high percentage plays. Quick passes. I can't imagine Ben's going to have a lot of time back there. And I think roll Ben out and have him run. Ben is a running quarterback, and there are some plays designed. So, and then we're sharing the media box with Arrowhead's live stream broadcast crew. They've got a three-member team here, so it's great to have them next to us. I'm sure they've shared some good intel with us so far. So, and they get to do live stream, which is kind of fun. So,
yeah.
You know, we've got to paint a bigger picture on radio, Johnny. We got to, you know,
sure, it's always fun.
Be much more visual, but it is great having the support of another media group here. And the Waukesha South coaches box is to our left. And then the main PA box is to our right. And then on the other side, you have a district office and the, of course, Arrowhead's coaching staff. So we still see cars filing into the parking lot. Some fashionably late folks are probably had to wait for that carnival to empty out. So it's a busy atmosphere here tonight. And with about 9 minutes before kickoff, let's take a quick 30-second break here on the Blackshirt Football Radio Network. Anya, take it away, please.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
And welcome back, everyone, to WAUK's live coverage of Blackshirt Football. We are at Taraska Field in Heartland, getting ready for a contest here against the Warhawks. The Blackshirts got their hands full tonight. It's a classic night for football. We're going to have some fun in our last Classic Eight matchup here on the away game.
Yeah.
So we're getting ready to get for our kickoff going. There's still some late people filing in. So
still waiting for the national anthem as well. The marching band has come out onto the field. And I imagine before they play the national anthem, they'll have the teams come out.
The band.
Pretty impressive marching band here. Have more players than our football team. But... So, what was I going to say, Johnny? Oh, this is there's more football this weekend. Don't forget, tomorrow at 5:30, the pregame starts. Carroll University Pioneers will be taking on number one North Central at North Central's house in Naperville, Illinois. So be sure to tune in for that. That'll be a big challenge for the 3-1 Pios. Lost a heartbreaker 23-19 against a very tough Augustana squad. So it'll be interesting to see how the Pios fight back against the best team in the country here. So, and then also tomorrow morning on This Week in Waukesha, my guest is Kristen Hansen of the Fair Election Center. and a campus voting program as well she's involved in. Kristen, you may recall, is also with Blue Sky Waukesha. And we'll be talking about the importance of making sure you get your voter registration taken care of now, and why we need to get more people out voting, and also getting involved in local government and local politics. In addition to running for office, there's many different ways that U.S. citizens can help make a difference here, especially at the local level. So be sure to tune in for that broadcast tomorrow morning at 8 before Johnny and I hit the road for Naperville. So a lot of great programming, and you're certainly welcome to join us. And I'd be remiss if we didn't mention one of our favorite sponsors, Mia's. Be a good night for some lasagna now that it's gotten cooler
sure
out,
would.
You know. So, or one of those other hot pasta dishes there that Bo Blask and company are putting together.
Nice hot meal at Mia's would be great.
It sure would. So, yeah. You know, maybe if we're open early enough next week, maybe before the North game, we might have to get some carry out there and take it with us over to the box.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
Now you're thinking, Don.
Maybe get Bo to keep the reopen the kitchen just for you and me after the game, you know.
Yeah,
Friday
maybe.
Night. We'll maybe catch up with our old friend.
Have a little private dinner like the Godfather, right?
There you go, yeah. Or like Charlie Trotter's, you know, back in the kitchen.
Sure.
So right now we're being favored by some music with the Arrowhead Marching Band. I don't know how well you can hear it from out there in Radio Land. So, but some good entertainment before the players take the field. And still fans filing in. And again, really looking forward. Players to watch for Arrowhead. Our junior quarterback, Vance Holtz, 6'2", 200 pounds. Their tailback, Harper Hughes, 5'10", 175. Actually, I'm sorry, he's a wide receiver. Your tailback is Jacob Seiner, a sophomore, 5'8", 175-pound sophomore. So, you know, usually when you see someone that young in the starting lineup, I'm sure he packs a lot of promise. And then, of course, I mentioned former Waukesha North Star Jace Gilbert in his senior year, 6'5", 260 pounds, senior, wears number 23, interestingly enough. And he'll be playing on Saturdays next year at Division I Iowa State in the Big 12. So, and fans are gearing up for the Warhawks to come out on the field. They have a welcoming committee there in the corner. And here they come. The host nation Warhawks looking like the Badgers with red jerseys, white helmets, white pants, red stripe. They have that Houston Oilers light blue trim. And then the logo type is that Arizona University logo type A on the helmet. So very recognizable in this part of Wisconsin. Great athletic tradition here. So, and now that both teams are on the field, they'll be starting the national anthem. So we'll take another, let's take a one-minute break here on you if you don't mind, and we'll pay some bills, and we'll see you back here at Taraska Stadium for the kickoff here in the Blackshirt Football Radio Network. Do not go away.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bond. Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest. Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to Taraska Stadium, home of the Warhawks of Arrowhead Union High School. And just heard a rousing version of the national anthem from the marching band. And it's always great, Johnny, when you can hear the marching band do the national anthem live.
They got a big band, dude.
They sure do, yeah. Some great percussions in that as well. So